Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. They say that there's only three types of people in the world. Those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. I'm talking mothers of special needs and very young children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases, and a host of others. I can go on and on. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani. From Los Angeles, the big LA, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally to the famous Radio Star Worldwide Network. Yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. And we have an exciting show planned for you today. And it was a last minute show. Poor Adrian has a bout with the snowstorm and she didn't win. She's got laryngitis. But Linda Bice from the Bice family, former model turned caregiver, will be joining us in Adrian's place. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Dave. How are you today?
Good, good, good. And today we're going to be interviewing a very special lady, Dr. TK, also known as Takesha Jackson. Did I say that right?
Yes, that's correct. Thank you. Oh,
I love it when I say it right. So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. She's a very smart lady, PhD and all that, but we'll get to that later. Hey, if you're new to the show, we get many new listeners every week, especially since we've gone video. I am your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every single kind. One thing we know about caregivers is that they are very caring, and they're very selfless, and they're very sacrificial, all those wonderful, wonderful things. But, oh yeah, they are also very prone to burnout, which is not a wonderful thing, because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. You know, if they would only listen to the advice every time they board a plane where they tell you, in the event of an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask. And the airlines know this so well because they know that if you don't put your needs above your loved one's needs, guess what will happen? You'll likely black out and you won't be of any good to anybody, especially that little darling down there who you would give your life to. And that's how caregivers are. You know, they give and they give and they give until there's nothing left to give. And then they get sicker than the one they're caring for. And now there's no one to take care of that one. And it's just a mess. So our goal here is to help you avoid burnout and to survive the grief process. And, you know, it's devastating. Anytime we suffer loss, we go through grief and it's a process. And it's called the grief process, ouch. But unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process. There's no shortcuts, can't go around it, under it, over it, got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like, you know, you're kind of stuck. I want to take this time to thank my last week's guest, who just happened to be Linda Bice. She was filling in. We had two cancellations, one from Adrian, one from our guest, Pam Jansen. So you're just a trooper, Linda. You know, just like the Bible says, be ready in season and out. And that's the true definition of a caregiver, I think. Now, just a reminder, you can listen to that interview on our podcast and our video cast on the website, caregiverscaregiver.com. And that's caregivers with an S and caregiver without an S, .com. And while you're there, take our short quiz, see if you're a candidate for burnout. And just for doing that, because I'm such a nice guy, I'm going to send you a copy of my first book absolutely free. What a deal. It's an ebook, but you know, that's still a book. All right, enough of that. Dr. TK, that's, boy, say that fast three times. Dr. TK. Okay, welcome to the show. And as you probably realize, it's going to be a fun show. Every day is a fun show here. I don't like things dry and boring. So welcome to the show, and thanks so much for agreeing to this interview today. I really appreciate it. Why don't you take a minute or two, doctor, and introduce yourself. Just who is Takesha Jackson, PhD?
Thank you. So hi, everyone. My name is Dr. TK, also known as Takesha Jackson dash Rudd, because I am recently married as of May this year. Thank you. So I'm actually a licensed clinical psychologist in the state of California, and I also do success in wellness and health coaching. Part of my work over the past 13 years, I've provided outpatient mental health services in either clinics, home-based, which is called field services, or in the community. I've also worked in correctional facilities, particularly juvenile hall, camps and juvenile halls and then their homes. And then I've worked with victims of crime. And then I also, on the other side of my private practice, I also work with health and fitness. And part of my health and fitness is, of course, teaching people coping skills, and how to deal with being stressed. That's typically how I start off my first session, is gathering information and determining what people do to self-care to potentially prevent burnout or to work throughout the burnout as they're coming in with their problems. And so,
yes, that is so important, isn't it, Linda?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, so many caregivers, I don't know the actual number, but I'd say it's like 97% are like there. They are burned out. They are fried to a crisp. You know, just stick a fork in. I'm done. And
yeah, there's the no clocking out. It's 24/7.
Yeah. And it's like my cell phone, you know. When it's flashing at me, you know, 1% danger, Will Robinson, it's too late. I mean, there's, you know, give me some options here. And so, Dr. TK, as you know, the best options is to keep this thing fully charged at all times, you know, at like 50%. Keep your tank full of gas when it's half a tank, not when you, oh my gosh, you know, Lord, get me where I'm going on the fumes, you know. And I have a gas station up on the Grapevine at Castaic Lake. And there's a mountain, a 27-mile mountain that just kind of goes down. And so many people every single day coast in on fumes because they thought they could make it to the last sign says, next service is 27 miles, gas up here. Well, I can make it. And even when I'm going over, I say, you know what? I can make it. There's just something about a guy. He tries to turn everything into a game. I can do it. I can make it. I can make it. And I sweat, you know, going down that road as well, because my mother-in-law is on the other side and I have to see her periodically. In fact, we're going tomorrow. No, we're going today. Well, thank you for that introduction, doctor.
Thank you.
I think we all agree that caregiver burnout is a bad thing and it should be avoided at all costs.
Right.
So I'm just curious. I ask almost everybody this question because, and everyone gives me a different answer. So I want to get your opinion too. Why don't caregivers take burnout more seriously? Why do they wait until they're burned out before they even look it up on Google to see what it is? I mean, you know, I didn't sign up to be a caregiver. It just kind of happened when my wife had a stroke and we had to rush her to the hospital. Next thing we know, you know, she can't talk, she can't walk, paralyzed on the right side. And 20 years later, I'm still doing this, you know? So what's your feelings about that?
Well, I think it's multiple factors. One factor would depend on what's your relationship with that person who you're taking care of, because oftentimes it's not just like you described. Of course, if it happens in an emergency, no one sometimes knows when those emergencies are going to come up. And so you go into default mode, especially if it's a parent. And so, you know, by default mode, you take care of your parent because that's what we're taught to do ideally as we grow up. And then a lot of people don't realize that there's a problem until their body breaks down on them, AKA burnout. And so you may not even realize there's a problem until someone starts to tell you over and over again, hey, you're looking a little fatigued and tired. You know, do you need a break? Oftentimes you don't have anybody to give you a break. Or some people don't want other people to give them a break because they may not feel that they can do the job like they can. And so it could be multiple factors. Exactly. And it's sometimes it's a competition between siblings. I'm not sure, but
yeah. Well, it's a competition just trying to make it to the gas station. Of course.
Right.
It's a competition, you know? And so the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They exactly. really embrace that concept, don't they, Linda?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I just got through being sick for a month and a half, and that's part of it.
Gosh. Yep. Really?
So Trammell was taking care of both of us. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's bad to be sick for a month and a half. That's like mm-hmm. serious. Mm-hmm. And God bless Cameron, your son. He's your right-hand man, right?
Trammell. Yeah, Trammell. I don't know what we would do without him, but I want him to have freedom. Oh. I desperately want him to have freedom.
Trammell, yes.
Yeah.
So what do you think, girls? let's define the problem. How do you even define burnout? What is burnout, and how do we know we have it?
So I think the first thing you want to look at is internal. So looking at what are some internal triggers for you. Do you often tell yourself, you know, I'm tired, I don't feel like getting up, I don't want to do this, especially if you live with the person and they're right next door in the other room. And then physically, you want to look at maybe in comparison to what you used to be able to do and what you're energized to do. Do you feel more hopeless about things getting better? Do you find yourself feeling fatigued, tired, like insomnia or hypersomnia? Hypersomnia is you stay up too long. Insomnia is you just sleep all day long. And so you want to be in tune to how your body's reacting to stress, but also your mind, because both of those combined could lead to burnout.
Yeah, I used to do both of those. I didn't know there was a name for it.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. My thing is, you know, I'm up and down all night, changing diapers and things like that. And I am absolutely worn out. But when I go back to bed after changing his diaper, I'm laying there wide awake. And I'm like, why in the world am I so worn out and I want to sleep, but I'm, you know, wide awake?
Probably some adrenaline is pumping. It depends on your body and your clock. I think a lot of us don't understand that your body biologically can never catch up to sleep. And a lot of us play our minds to think, oh, because I didn't get as much sleep yesterday, I want to get double the amount of sleep today. Your body doesn't work like that. Yeah. Now, there is a difference between crashing and going to sleep. Does your body crash or are you just fatigued and sleepy?
I go 90 miles an hour all day long, mm-hmm. and then I'm up, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a night. And mm-hmm. this has been, like I told Dave, in 10 years, I've had 156 nights of sleep.
Oh, wow.
Where I could lay down. Yeah. Where I could go to bed and lay down and know that I could sleep all night long without having to get up and down.
She has a very unique situation. Some people, you know, once they wake up, even though they're dead tired, they can't get back to sleep again. What causes that? Yeah. Like adrenaline, you know, and what do we do about it?
So I will give you the example, unfortunately, of the kids I used to work with in juvenile camp, because clearly they can't sleep because they're in an awkward or uncomfortable environment. So what we would do, and I'm jumping ahead, but I'll go ahead and tell you, we do progressive relaxation, which is relaxing your muscles. But the first thing we do is identify what are some things in your environment that's not allowing you to go to sleep. So for example, the kids, they would say, Dr. Jackson, you know, I would do push-ups at night, I would do some burpees by my bed, and then I couldn't find myself getting sleepy. And I would say, well, look at what you did before. You ate dinner, you sat at your little bunky bed, you were calm, and then all of a sudden you thought that increasing your heart rate by doing burpees and push-ups was going to help you go to sleep. Because
what is a burpee?
Like,
I'm sorry.
A burpee exercising is you bend down, push your legs back into a push-up position, and then jump back up and then stand up.
I've seen that.
And so, they would do the
to be young again. I used to be young.
But if you imagine, like, if you've done push-ups after you've done probably 10 to 15, your heart rate is pounding, right? Mm-hmm. And so what happens is, if you think about running around your house all day long, and then you think your body is just going to stop immediately, that's not going to happen. It needs to wind down, but then something else happens, or someone calls you into the room, and it starts mm-hmm. all over again. And so you have to be on a cycle, but it's hard.
Yeah. So we're talking about some kind of meditation exercise where we just
exactly.
put on the headphones, put on the blindfold, you know, remove all the darkness or the light rather from our room, and then just go through the, you know, okay, my arms are relaxing, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. I don't want words in your mouth, but I assume it's something like that.
Yep, exactly.
And some you know, soothing music, I don't know,
Soothing
something that just
environment, soothing music, like the kind that you will probably hear if you're going to the spa, like that kind of music where you fall asleep on the bed.
spa music, yes.
Exactly.
Do
I
you do
vaguely
that,
remember
Linda?
those
Have you ever
days.
experimented with that?
I was about to say, I vaguely remember back when I used to have what I used to joke and say, back when I had a life before I was your father's wife. And this was before all this happened.
She's a
But I used to
poet
go
and
get
she don't know
a
it.
I used to go get a massage every Monday morning. And that was back when I
I
was
don't know why you
modeling.
stopped.
Well, that was back when I was modeling, and since all this happened, of course, I don't have the funds to be able to do anything like that. But I
Barter.
remember that
Find a
music and
massage therapist who needs something that you have. And you need massages now more than ever.
I know, right?
So do I. So how can we do this, doctor? How can we, you know, afford the things that, you know, maybe aren't within our reach? Bartering is a good thing. Can you think of anything else?
Bartering or maybe making a list of things that you can do maybe every once in a while, and then some things that you can do for free. And so with the self-care with a lot of my clients during the first session, I'll have them sit back and think about things that they can do inside their house and outside their house or the surrounding area that don't cost money, because typically we stop rewarding ourselves as we become adults or when situations happen, and that shouldn't happen. Even taking a bath. Like I ask a lot of my mothers who have children, you know, do you have an oldest child in the house like your son? Can you put a note on the door and say, don't bother me for 20 minutes, and they have to take care of whatever you were taking care of for that specific 20 minutes and let you chill out and relax.
I do that with Trammell every afternoon or evening.
Okay.
I fix my supper and I go to my room and I say, I'm going to take my mommy break. And I set my
Okay,
timer for
good.
30 minutes
Okay.
and I eat my supper and I watch, well, now I'm watching Hallmark Christmas movies when it comes. So for 30 minutes, I'm like off duty, you know.
Good.
But yeah, that's
Okay,
my
you got to
favorite
make sure you
part of
practice that every
the
day.
day. Yes.
And
Oh, yeah.
sometimes just doing nothing, like just nothing, just sitting there and enjoying the moment that you don't have to do any task. A lot of people aren't able to sit there and just be quiet with themselves, kind of like yoga.
So are
Oh,
we talking about coping skills here? Is that another name for what we're
that
talking
is,
about?
yeah. A lot of people have coping skills that don't know that they're named coping skills. And
Give me
so some
some
people.
examples.
So some coping skills would be listening to music. It would be meditation. One of them could clearly be exercising. Another one can be drawing. Some people like to write poetry, like to journal. Some people like to take a walk. Other general coping skills that we use within the session is, of course, deep breathing. So let's just say if you're overwhelmed or angry, a lot of people say, I count backward and it's not helping. And so I say, well, how do you count? And they were like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I said, okay, that doesn't cause any mental effort. So now I want you, like, you guys participate right now. So choose any number over 65 that is not an even number or a five. Give me any number.
99.
Four.
Okay, so let's go with 99.
No,
So now,
66 over there.
nope, that's an even number.
That's even,
So
yeah.
let's
Got
go with
me.
six. Let's go with 67. 67, I would then tell my clients to count back by threes or sevens. So count back by threes. Yeah.
That
Oh,
would stress me out just
67,
trying to.
64, 61,
But check this out, Dave.
58.
What is your mind now focused on?
The
Counting
numbers.
backwards by three.
It's not on who just upset you, who just overwhelmed you. You might get overwhelmed that you can't remember the next number, but now your mind has shifted to focus on something less anxiety provoking per se.
I see. Got it. Got it. Coping. We all
Yeah.
have to cope.
You know, one of the things that I do all the time too, and I know it probably drives my son and my husband too, probably crazy, but I either sing or hum all the time. I mean, it's just like, and even if I'm doing dishes or whatever, I'm singing about me doing the dishes. But now it's like Christmas music all the time. But I guess it's one of those
Coping skill is anything
ways
that
that I
relieves
can cope.
anxiety.
And it could be a Calgon moment. Calgon, take me away, or
Where's Calgon when
not.
you need it?
Yeah, no, I do that every night. I take those hot baths because I got one of those walk-in tubs, you know, with the jets and everything.
Whoa,
I got it for
cool.
my wife, but she hardly ever uses it, so I
Oh,
says, "By
wow.
God, I paid for this thing. I'm using it every night.
I was about to say.
And you know, I bought the essential oils and the the powder. What is that? You know, the stuff you throw in, Epsom salt, anything to just like, and my body looks forward to it. Like my dog looks forward to me taking him out for a walk. He just goes crazy, you know. Oh, it's time to walk. You know, it's not time yet. Okay, so three ways to identify that burnout is coming. Let me see if it's the same three ways that I talk about in my book. Go ahead.
So three ways that you know that burnout is coming. So one of them would be thought, emotion, and response. That's all I'm just trying to get my thoughts together. So you want to think about a triangle. The bottom, but let's just say of the left side of the triangle would be the way that you think. Typically, if we can change the way that you think, your emotions ideally would change very drastically, and so will your response. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about anxiety provoking situations, let's just say if somebody in your home is calling your name over and over again to come help them, which can create burnout if that happens clearly every day throughout the day, you want to think about what are some thoughts that are initially popping up inside your head. Are one of the thoughts, I don't want to get up right now, I'm tired, I don't want to do anything, then what emotion follows that thought? Typically overwhelm, anxiety, exhaustion, frustrated, angry, maybe sad. And then your response would be, yes, you have to get up, but you're tired, you're rushing around, or sometimes you don't get up right away when they want you to get up, but then they keep calling your name. And so ideally, if we can do, I do like a thing with my hands when I meet with my clients, like turning a doorknob. And I say, if we can just reframe the way that you think and change it, then your emotional response will be different. So if someone is if you change the way you think when somebody's calling your name, yes, they're calling by name, but you know what, maybe something is really wrong that I need to attend to. Let me go ahead and attend to that. Then you're a lot calmer when you enter that room. Therefore, you're not as anxious. And then your response to that person is a lot more acceptable, nicer voice tone, and you're a lot calmer. But it all starts with the way that you think. And a lot of people
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, we're up on a break, so don't go away. We will be right back in a couple of minutes. And here we're talking with Dr. TK and Linda Bice, so hang on. We'll be right back.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope, that everything happens for a reason, and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone who meets her. Her accomplishments since her stroke are very impressive, often making us normal people look like whiners and complainers. So pick up your copy of One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today. You won't be disappointed. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere, but if you purchase your copy directly from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com, Charlene and David will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy!
Welcome back with Dr. TK and Linda Bice from the Bice family, former model turned caregiver. Right? I bet you didn't get that memo, huh, Linda?
Oh, have mercy. Yeah. And, you know, I've often said if back then someone had told me what my life would be down the road, I wouldn't have believed them in a million years. I couldn't
That's
even
what
have
I usually
fathomed.
Say. And I wouldn't want someone to tell me what, because it would freak me out. And who knows what I would do. But yeah, sometimes ignorance is bliss. And wouldn't you agree, doctor?
Sometimes ignorance. We just don't want to know.
Yes, ignorance of the law is no excuse, but ignorance is bliss. So here's a good question. What's the difference between physical and mental burnout? Aren't they the same thing, or are they slightly different?
They are slightly different. Some of those we talked about earlier when we were addressing the effects of them, which are the coping skills. So some of the physical burnout symptoms would be, of course, fatigue, meaning your body is moving very slowly. You're not rushing to do pretty much anything. You can have what's called hyperinsomnia, like we talked about, which is you are up a lot and you can't go to sleep. Or insomnia, meaning you're waking up throughout the night or you can't get a good night's rest. Increase or decrease in appetite. So you have two ends of the spectrum. And then for mental, that's all for physical. Those are some examples. And then for mental burnout, that can be the more mood irritability, anger outburst, feeling hopeless or helpless about your situation or your family member situation, maybe lack of confidence that you can actually get the job done. And then just lack of motivation because you're tired. So with that one, lack of motivation, they can kind of go hand in hand. Because if you have insomnia, you have lack of motivation to do your job thoroughly that next day with your family member or whoever you're taking care of.
Yeah. A lot of the triggers that I talk about are, you know, when's the last time you had dinner with a friend or a movie, you know? And that is something that caregivers just don't seem to do anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. Because no, it's all about her or it's all about him. It's not about me. Selfish isn't a dirty word, is it, if you're a caregiver?
It is not at all. You need to make room for yourself because if you don't exist, no one is there to take care of your caregiver anyway.
I know, but selfish is such a negative word. My book that I wanted to call The Selfish Caregiver, no, you can't call it. You know, it's just it'll turn off too many people. So the title that we finally agreed on is It's My Life Too, When to Say Yes, When to Say No to Long-Term Caregiving.
I like that. Which,
yeah, it was like a frustration coming out of me. It's like, no, it's my life too. You know, I get to vote. I get a vote.
Exactly.
And for people who happen to just be around overhearing a conversation, you know, that's too bad what they think. Oh, that's terrible. You know, you should put yourself last, your knees last. No, you don't understand. And so, you know, it's just a different mentality. You know, we're always taught share, you know, put the other person first and put yourself last.
Well, altruism.
And these are just things that we don't know where they came from. They were ingrained into our brain at an early age. But that kind of philosophy will kill you if you're a caregiver. So you need to like get past that. And that's the hardest thing of, you know, every caregiver perhaps knows they need to put their needs first, but hardly anyone would do it because it just doesn't feel right. And think about it. If you're on a plane with 100 parents and 100 little kids next to them and the plane's going down and the stewardess on the flight attendant on the plane is saying, everyone calm down. Please put your oxygen mask on before you help your screaming child with their mask. how many are going to do that? I mean, I would say zero. It just goes against every gosh ounce of whatever in our bodies. I mean, so I don't even know if we can do this, but we have to do it, because if we don't, we're going to kill ourselves. Any comments on that?
No,
I would suicide. Use a gun. It's faster.
No, I would definitely agree. I think it's by second nature. Just how we gave the example earlier in the show about, you know, if someone in your family gets hurt, you automatically just go into that zone of helping them. The word that comes to mind to me is altruism. Altruism is naturally helping someone that's very selfless and you really don't think about yourself first. That's automatic. I think that's ingrained in most humans if we have a level of empathy for other people. But again, it does depend on that factor. What is the relationship to that person to me? If you're sitting next to a stranger on the plane, you're going to put on your oxygen mask first, and then you may help them if they're having struggle. But if it's your child, that's by nature. You do that first.
Right. So that's how hard this is. You know, it's like, it's easy to just judge them and say, oh, you know, you guys, but you know what? We would do the same thing.
Exactly.
So now that we know that we're going against every ounce of decency, perhaps, or human nature, now we have to do something like, it's almost, you know, in this dangerous world, killing a person who's about to kill you, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, I can't kill somebody. Well, they're about to kill you, you know? So it takes a little shifting in the brain.
Exactly.
And, you know, some people can do it. Some people absolutely cannot pull that trigger no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. Now, if that trigger was pointed at their child, I think it might be different. They would gladly give their life, you know, for their child or whatever. So let's continue this conversation. Now, if I change the way I think about my situation, can that prevent burnout? I mean, is it that simple?
Yeah. So some of that we kind of touched on in the triangle. But the second part is, when I mentioned triggers earlier in the show, there's two different types of triggers as far as the way you change the way you think. And so there's internal and external triggers. So internal triggers would typically be things that you tell yourself that, for example, promote burnout, because you tell yourself, I have to do this. I have to do it right now. I'm the only one that can do it. And then external triggers would be other people around you, or for your example, lack thereof. If you're the only one in the home and no one is there to help you, your external environment is telling you, your significant other or your child is depending upon you to, you know, be able to help them with their care. And so that's one is internal, external triggers. And then the second one is, if you miss those, you should be able to catch on to your physiological triggers. Again, back to the body. Physiological triggers, for example, if I'm mad, my leg may start shaking. I may start feeling hot inside. And so I tell my clients, if you don't know what your internal and external triggers are right now, at least be aware of what your body is doing when you're in those hyperarousal moments and pay attention. Because once your body starts shutting down, like you being sick for a month, you're not going to be able to stop that. Your body is telling you, hello, I need a break. So don't
That's
give me
exactly
one.
Right.
I'm going to take one for you. Thank you.
That has happened to me twice during this time. And both times I ended up in, you know, just like deathly ill for a month.
Yeah,
because
it gets really bad. Yeah.
And it's just.
And you should know better. I mean, you've got all the information. You've got the platform. We have you on the show here telling people to do exactly what you didn't do. So that's how hard it is.
Yeah. Well, just like I was thinking about just a minute ago with David, my husband, he does not know his brain injury is, he is like an infant. And if his diaper is wet, he doesn't know to cry out or to let me know if he's too hot or too cold or hungry. He doesn't know to say or how to let me know that. I can ask him yes and no questions. But even if I say, is your diaper wet? He may shake his head no, and I pull back the cover and he's soaked. So all during the night, if I hear him even moan, my feet hit that floor, you know, because I don't know if he's in pain or if he's wet or, you know, or what's going on. I've got a monitor, you know, right beside me, literally right there on the side of the bed. And I watch him, you know, all the time. Every time all I got to do is open my eyes. But if he's moaning or like grunting, you know, something like that, I know to hit that floor and run in there and see what's going on. And just, you know, are you okay? Are you hurting anywhere? And then checking his diaper. Or if he rolls over, his back is uncovered, you know, he didn't know to pull the cover back over him. So that's on my mind constantly all night long. So,
yeah, You're such a different kind of caregiver because, you know, a lot of times we talk about boundaries, for example, you know, where the loved one is taking advantage of the caregiver, you know, and they're being, you know, demanding and unappreciative and this and that. And you know, the care receiver has to take some responsibility for their actions. But in your case, you can't. Yeah. We're talking about like
it's like your infant child. Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know how many times harder because, you know, you can't justify in your mind, well, I don't care what he wants. I'm taking a break, you know. No, you can't do that, you know. Any comments, Doctor?
No, I think that it's very difficult because when you guys were talking about the caregiver role initially, I thought when somebody goes into caregiver mode, it's almost like they're reborn, meaning the person who you're talking about is reborn. You have to be a parent all over again or parent a significant other or parent your parent. So it's almost like the roles got reversed and there's no handbook to being a caregiver. There's no simple handbook to being a parent. You can read as many books as you would like, but every situation is the same. And unfortunately, especially for someone who's not able to articulate what they're thinking and how they're feeling, that also reminds me of like children and play therapy. For a therapist, we are not mind readers. So we ultimately have to sit back, like you said, and observe what's happening so that we can know when to step in, what questions to ask, or what behavior to do next, because they're not able to tell us what's actually happening. So that's very difficult.
Yeah. Even with my wife, who does not have the ability to talk, she has aphasia. So, you know, the words get all jumbled up, kind of like a stutterer. She can communicate very well, about 85% of the time, with gestures, with tonality. You know, she might know only a handful of words, but she can say those words, you know, 100 different ways. And you know what she means by the way she said, no, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. And so there's always a challenge in communication, and some challenges are harder than others. But yeah, I wish one size fit all for caregivers, but they don't, unfortunately. But there's we're gonna get special crowns in heaven when we get there, people tell me I have the patience of Job, and I say, really? I don't feel like I have the patience of Job, because they'll see me when I'm very patient and when I'm, you know, but they don't maybe necessarily see me when I might lose my patience, you know, because everyone, do you ever lose your patience, Linda?
You know, I don't really like lose my patience, but you can ask Trammell, I whine a lot, especially in the evening, and I'm doing the nighttime chores, Last night, I kept going, my legs hurt so bad, my legs, because I was so tired that every step I took, my legs hurt. And Trammell's like, would you please stop whining? Like,
no, so that would have been a great time for that Calgon bath moment.
Yes.
So put that on your agenda.
Yes.
I'll do that on my mommy break.
So,
but yeah. And now one thing you were talking about communication, there has been two things that I have made the last couple of years for David that I wish I had thought of years, you know, this is 10 years now, but I called one the activity wheel. It's a round wheel I took and cut out. I've got an arrow I put it in the middle, but you can turn it to different things. And it's anywhere from popcorn movie time, go outside, nap time, and all these different things that he can point to, because he doesn't know how to say, you know, I'd like to do this, or I'd like to get up, or I'd like to go outside. I have got all those activities. And then the other wheel says, my diaper's wet, I'm hurting, I'm sleepy, I'm hungry, you know, all those. So I can hand him that. And it depends on what day it is or what, you know, mode he is in, that he can actually, you know, communicate with me that way.
That's very creative. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
So you're saying something like, my thinking controls my emotions controls my actions controls my destiny. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but there were five things and I wrote that down. I said, that's a great thing. Is that kind of what you're saying?
There's
a chain reaction. And if we can control our thinking, we're on the path to controlling everything, yes?
Exactly. Your emotions are always a result of the way you think, but typically our emotions are a lot bigger and people don't want to slow down to think about that one little bitty thought that started this whole wheel of all these other feelings. So,
yes, and sometimes it's good to go backwards, you know, find out, okay, what do you want to change? Okay, if you change that, then you got to change this, and you got to change this, you got to change this, and it comes down to your thinking.
Exactly.
So that's a great revelation. All we have to do is change our thinking.
We were told that when we were five. I always my clients laugh because I'm like, well, you know, when you grow up, your parents tell you, think before you act or speak. But do you know how difficult that is? That's very hard.
That's how you keep your foot out of your mouth.
Exactly.
You just read my mind.
So have you perfected that action on changing your thinking, Linda? Have you learned anything today?
Yeah. What have you learned today?
It's like that scene in The Wizard of Oz. So what have you learned today, Dorothy?
That I'm not in Kansas anymore. But yeah, I've always had that problem of running my mouth before my brain could catch up.
Yeah, me too. So many times I wish we had a rewind, just like on the DVR for my mouth. And like the Bible says, you know, our tongue is the most important thing because, you know, like a tiny spark can set a forest ablaze and, you know, a tiny rudder of a ship can turn it around. And this little tiny tongue can wreak havoc, you know, on relationships, on wars, kingdoms, love, you name it.
Exactly.
Vacations.
Doctor, I may be asking this again, but how do we change our thinking? Is there a simple formula, E equals MC2 or something like that, that makes it happen?
No easy formula. The only word that I'm going to say is awareness. If you are not aware of how you think, nothing will ever change. And then I guess secondly would be if you want to change it, some people are very, especially adults, as we get older, we are very content with thinking the way that we think, and we think there's nothing that we need to do to change it. We think everybody else needs to adapt to our needs. That part is selfish.
The older we get, yes, the more selfish we get.
Yeah, so we're stuck. And so I just make my clients more aware. And honestly, I've seen most change when people start to become aware, but typically they become aware because they allow someone else to critique them, give them constructive feedback and say, because I'm very challenging with my clients. I'm like, no, that was not right. Or no, can you think of a different way to think about that situation? Could you have done something differently? Tell me about it. Come on, I'm going to push them, you know, because that's why they come.
Yeah.
But it's being aware.
So you're pushy.
I tell them that in the introduction. but look, check this. It's based off of what they tell me they need. If you came to me for services and you're telling me my mouth has gotten me into too much trouble at home, okay, well, let's talk about each situation and we're going to break every single one down one by one.
Now, let's talk about those situations where we control a lot of things, boundaries. Boundaries, there was a whole book written about boundaries, right? Yes. That the logic is that if you have a problem relationally with someone and it might be your care receiver, then it's really your fault because you never communicated to them the boundary, where the line is, and that the line that they should not cross. So when they cross it, they didn't know they crossed it because you never told them they crossed it. So now you're freaking out. So let's talk about boundaries. What's your deal on boundaries?
I think that boundaries are very important from the outset of either a relationship and or just for caregivers, a change, maybe even in status with maybe the roles being reversed. And so I'm going to speak to those who take care of individuals where you may be able to have some level of just minor communication is establishing boundaries of what your role is, not necessarily what their role is, but mostly maybe how you want them to respond to your role, allow them to give you feedback. And then if they, like you say, across that line, across that boundary, be assertive, not aggressive and not passive, because those are two different things. Be assertive in the middle and tell the person how you feel about what they did, wait for a response back, and then actually have a conversation about it to resolve the problem. But typically, some people go into the aggressive role where they'll just point the finger and tell people what they need to do and just expect people just to fall in line where they should. And I think that's very difficult, especially in a spousal relationship and you're the caregiver. That, let's just say, if the person who you have to take care of was more of the, not physically aggressive, but maybe mentally strong in your family, and now all of a sudden they have to depend on you. That is, I think a lot of people don't think about how that plays a role in their mind of having to fall back into that passive role. That's not fun. But people don't think about both sides.
Well, listen, I can't believe how fast this is going. We're up on our second break, so don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you, and ultimately, an investment in them.
Hey, welcome back. We're with Dr. TK and with Linda Bice, former model turned caregiver. So we were talking about control and boundaries. What does it take to be controlling but not controlling, right? Because nobody wants to be a control freak. Yes? Are caregivers typically control freaks? Or no? Are they I think they're perfectionists, which means everything's got to be perfect. No, I can't ask for help because they won't do it the right way, and nobody does it the way I do it. You know, and I just say, that's right. Nobody does it better. But that's because you're a perfectionist, and you know what? They'll appreciate you more when you come back from that weekend when somebody who's taking care of it doesn't make the coffee just hot enough and doesn't you know, tuck them in just right and doesn't, you know, make the vegetables soft enough, and you name it, you know, all the perfectionist things that we're really spoiling our loved one, which is good. You know, they deserve to be spoiled on occasion, but not if it's killing us. And so let people help. You know, and there's ways to let people help, because they're going to ask you, hey, if there's anything you need me to do, just call me. And that's the end of the conversation. And then they wait for their phone to ring and never rings. What's the best way to ask for help, doctor?
The first one is to be able to take a break and realize that you need help. So again, awareness, being able to delegate tasks to other people with the trust that you've chosen the right person for the job to be able to help you out, such as maybe someone else in the home. And then along with that, with ultimately preventing further burnout, I do want to share something because I think both of you guys would like this. I attended a training and they said, when you go for a regular job interview, what are some of the typical characteristics that you share about, you know, for your positive traits? Are you energized? Are you a go-getter? Do you never give up? Are you a team player? And then they said, I want you to look at the current job that you're in, such as maybe even a caregiver role, and I want you to think about how you feel burnt out right now. What characteristics pop up that you do a lot of? And when I looked at it working in the jails, I was like, wow, because my boss knew all of these strengths, a family member for you guys, my boss knew that these were all my strengths. They actually used those strengths to give me more work. Hence, I thought I was doing a good job because that's what I'm good at. So I overdid it and they never stopped me. And so you want to think about that when you have people in your home.
The overachiever.
But also people knowing what your strengths are. And it's more of like an ego boost. You don't realize that sometimes you may be overdoing it, or they may be requesting too much of you. And sometimes you need to just take a step back and take a break and allow other people to take charge. You know, you don't have to wear the pants all the time. It's okay.
Yeah. And you know what's so typical is that person who burns out and they need to replace that person. It usually takes two or three people to replace them because they're doing so much. Mm-hmm. You say, oh my God, this is why she burned out, because she was doing the job of three people.
Exactly.
We're going to learn. What are we going to learn? Okay. what do I do in the moment that I feel stress arising and cannot physically leave the situation? Okay, so we're trapped, right?
Yes.
And we feel it. We feel the boiling point reaching the point of no return. What do we do? So we're in the middle of changing a diaper. We can't just leave.
You cannot. So I can give you four examples. Some of them we touched up on earlier. The first one is guided imagery. So guided imagery is AKA your happy place. So go to a happy place in your mind that can soothe you and calm you down. You may have to close your eyes for a little bit and stand there for 5 seconds, but go to that place. And then that could be coupled with deep breathing, not breathing to hyperventilate, but taking a deep breath in through your nose slowly and blowing it out through your mouth like you're doing yoga or working out. And then the third one would be the progressive relaxation. Now, typically, if you're locked into a situation or into a room or changing a diaper, you're not going to be able to go and say, let me go lay on my bed and tighten up my fists, you know? So you may have to choose one of the relaxation exercises that we teach people to do over a 30-minute exercise. You choose one of those that you can physically do in that room. So with some of the clients that I used to work with, I would have them like clench your fists. You can just close your eyes, take deep breaths, and just focus on one part of your body that has the most tension, and focus on that tension and then try to let it go. And then the last one would be the counting backward, but again, choosing a high number, count back from threes to seven, you know, and tap out for about 5 to 10 seconds and then tap back into what you were doing. And you may have to do that a few times.
Well, that sounds like good.
Yeah.
So what if I want to become a resource, you know, like I am and like Linda is, to prevent burnout from recurring to other people? How can we, what message will really resonate with them? Because a lot of times, you know, it seems like we're preaching to the choir, but the people who really need to hear what we have to say the most aren't listening. They're not tuning in. You know, what do we do about that dilemma?
The first thing I wrote down, interestingly enough, is just how you have the show here. I think now, because technology is so popular, a lot of people like apps. And so this app that anybody can download on their phone, but it would be probably good for you guys to develop maybe an app for specifically caregivers. And I know they have what's called push notifications, where you can maybe send them a daily quote or a daily message just to kind of get their vibes going. There's an app for anxiety, but it talks about like burnout, and it has a tracking system. It has the music that you need to calm down. And I give that to my clients as a homework assignment, especially my kids, because they're on the phone all the time, the adolescents. So I said, when you feeling down, pull out your phone and I want you to identify what time of day it is, because I want to see a theme or a pattern. But typically most clients that I talk to, they actually like when I can email them something through the patient portal. You know, and I wish it was so easy as I could just do a push notification through my phone. Great morning. Make sure you focus on your deep breathing today, or make sure that you put your oxygen mask on yourself today for your caregivers, and then put it on your family member. And then the second one would be, of course, just reaching out for external help. That can be a set of you, wonderful people working with your caregivers already. That can be, of course, people like myself, external objective counselors. Counselors are not bad. And then, you know, if people are spiritual, they can reach out to church and things like that. But I really like the idea of technology these days, because my church uses technology to send out messages, and they use the FaceTime Live. That's good too. So.
I wish Adrian was here. She does that so well on her site. You know, she has all these things that is above me technologically, and she's spent a lot of money on them. Mm-hmm. But I love
daily quotes. Daily quotes go a long way. Like a page that I have on Instagram, I just put up quotes every day that I find from someone else's page, and people will just comment and say, "Thank you, I needed to hear that today. I didn't need to do anything."
Yeah. Yeah, and we both do that. We have an inspirational picture with a inspirational quote down below, and those are so popular. Exactly. Those get shared the most. You know, it's not unlikely, not uncommon for them to be shared hundreds and hundreds of times over and over again, because everybody knows somebody going through something and says, oh, let me just send this to them.
Right.
And then you're right. They respond and say, oh, thanks. I needed that so much. And it was like, you know, a God thing or a coincidence thing or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, that's a good thing. Well, we've covered a lot of different things. Can you think of something that I forgot to cover, Dr. or Linda, before we wrap it up here?
Well, you were talking about sharing those. I've started doing that. As a matter of fact, I do that every day of December. Last year the theme was, you know, like 12 days of Christmas. I had the 25 days of, I can't remember how I worded it, but it's things that you could do for caregivers. Uh-huh. Every day, put a different thing that you could do for a caregiver. Uh-huh. And this year I'm putting a different picture of, nativity scene, a different picture of nativity scene every day, and then putting something inspirational with that. But
how fun. Things like that. I love it. How fun. Well, listen, I can't believe how fast this hour has gone. Thank you again to both of you for coming on such short notice. We really, really appreciate it. And just a reminder that we are here every week, Tuesdays at noon. And how do you contact us? Well, our website is the best place, caregiver.com. That's caregivers with an S, caregiverwithoutans.com. That's where all our shows are in the uplifting interviews tab. We've got, I don't know, 120 or so. I can't even, lost count. But there's a subject just for you. Just go through it and see what you need to hear today. And thank you so much, Dr. TK and Linda Bice. And how can people get a hold of you? First you, Linda.
Our website is www.bycefamily, that's B-Y-C-E, family, at, my mind just went blank. That's a caregiver's problem. www.bycefamily.weebly.com.
And, Weebly, course, spell that, Weebly.
W-E-E-B-L-Y. That's a website that you can have for free. So it's www.bycefamily.weebly.com. And of course, Facebook, and our email address is thebycefamily@gmail.com.
Thank you. And Doctor, you do coaching and a whole bunch of stuff, huh? Tell us everything you do and how you can help caregivers.
Yeah. So on one side, I do clinical psychology, which are just typical patients that come in for various depression, anxiety, family conflict, premarital counseling. I do a foundations program, wrote a workbook earlier this year that can help premarital couples go through that process. And then I also do success and health coaching, which is exercise, nutrition, and also career and life transitions, kind of helping people throughout that process. So all of those services are on my website. And that website is drtk.com. Spell out the word doctor, tk.com. And all my social media has buttons at the top of the website where it'll directly link you to the social media platforms.
Wow. Every one of those things is what caregivers need. You know, they don't eat right. They don't sleep right. They need to keep those relationships going. So, hey, I'm excited for you both, and thank you so much for what you do, and thank you for coming on the show, and we will see you next week, and God bless you all. Bye-bye. Okay, and at that point, I would play the outro, and so I will send you the links. Thank you so much for
fantastic
for coming on the show, and look for the links, and please share them on your social media.
I will.
Thank you again.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks. Thanks, Linda, for filling in for Adrian. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.